Welcome to Alt Universe Top 40. My name is John McMullen. For the next hour, we will listen to some records, talk about chart positions, and make some good-hearted adjustments that time and taste demand. On today's installment, we will hear an artist whose peak on the Billboard charts caused her to be the first artist to have singles peak at each position from 1 to 10 on the Billboard Hot 100. For our little slice of heaven at number 7, we will appreciate a single by the top-selling artist on the Atlantic label during the 50s. During 1 5-year period, she had 5 R&B number ones and 21 top tens. Later, for our 3 from way downtown, we will listen to a band from Nashville that released new wave records that sounded nothing like most of what has historically been recorded in the town known as Music City. Finally, for our Hall of Perfection track, we will present the original version of the biggest selling single of all time, at least since the charts have been in existence. This original version was never released as a single in the United States, but did appear on a number one album that is considered one of the greatest double albums ever recorded. But first, just as we do every week, we start with a single that, at some point, was perched at number 40. Some of these were on the way up, some were on the way down. Some hit number 40 for a one-week peak and then were rained out. What kind of number 40 do we have for today? Well, we begin with a song written and recorded by an artist from Brooklyn who studied music at Juilliard, but who got sidetracked by the pop music scene at the Brill Building in New York. While he was in high school, this artist briefly dated a talented schoolmate named Carol Klein and wrote a hit song about her, Oh Carol. After a string of hits in the early 60s, his career suddenly went cold, and he went 12 years before resurrecting his career with a song that sounded a little like the music of his former girlfriend, and even featured the same guitarist, Danny Karchmar, that played on Carol Klein's biggest solo hit. Spending a week at number 40 on its way to number 1 on the Cashbox chart, number 1 in Billboard, and number 15 in the UK. That was Neil Sedaka and his comeback hit on the Rocket label, Laughter in the Rain, which certainly sounded a little bit like something Carol Klein, better known as Carol King, might sing.
Alt-Universe Top 40.
At number 20, we have a single by a British-based pub band whose garage rock style predated the official punk era by a couple of years. In England, the Sex Pistols opened for them, and in the United States, 2 years later, they opened for the Ramones and the Talking Heads. While the leader and lead vocalist of the group was Barry Masters, the name of the band was Eddie and the Hot Rods, with Eddie being a ventriloquist dummy whose spot on the stage each night was in the back, leaned up against the amplifiers.
Oh, I can't wait forever, even though you want me to. Oh, I can't wait forever.
Their energetic cover of Time Won't Let Me by The Outsiders. That was Eddie and the Hot Rods featuring the late Barry Masters, who passed away last week at age 62.
This one went to 11.
My name is John McMullen, and this is Alt Universe Top 40. Now we are up to a song that reached number 11 and kept on going. It reached number 1 on the Billboard Soul chart, number 3 on the Billboard Hot 100, and number 7 in Cashbox. And speaking of number 11, it ended the year 1974 as the number 11 song of the year. The song itself was written by Morris Broadnax, Clarence Paul, and Stevie Wonder back in 1967, and while Stevie recorded his own version, it was never released as a single. When Aretha Franklin recorded her version in 1973, she not only sang it, but she played piano and she co-produced it.
Changes not going through. Missing you.
number 11 on its way to a peak at number 3. That was Aretha Franklin and Until You Come Back to Me. When it hit number 3, it made Aretha the very first artist in history to have a hit song peak at each position from 1 to 10 on the Billboard Hot 100. At number 10, we have a single whose video received a large amount of airplay on MTV and reached number 48 on the Billboard Mainstream Rock Tracks chart. While this record was climbing, the act responsible for it, the producers, opened shows for Cheap Trick and the Motels, and even headlined MTV's New Year's Eve celebration in 1982. Single that should have, at the very least, reached number 10 in Billboard and Cashbox both. That was the four-man new wave rock act from Atlanta, consisting of Kyle Henderson, Brian Holmes, Van Temple, and Wayne Famous, known collectively as The Producers and She Sheila.
Number nine.
Now we are up to a song that really did hit number 9 on the Cashbox singles chart in 1978. It is by a solo artist who majored in sculpture at Georgetown University and earned a degree as one of the first art majors at Georgetown. While in college, that art student, Walter Egan, was also a member of a cover band called Sageworth. After they broke up, he moved to Los Angeles. In Los Angeles, Walter got to know Lindsey Buckingham and Stevie Nicks. He also became acquainted with Richard Dashett, who engineered the Buckingham Nicks album and produced Rumors for Fleetwood Mac. When Walter went into the studio with a song inspired by Stevie, Richard Dashett and Lindsey co-produced it with him. And Lindsey and Stevie appeared on the record with him, with Lindsey playing guitar and singing background vocals, and Stevie obviously singing background vocals.
Now I told you so, you ought to know. Ooh. It takes some time for.
It received from WILT Houston, WWWW Detroit, and WMMS Cleveland. That was Walter Egan, along with Stevie Nicks and Lindsey Buckingham, and a single that reached number 9 in Cashbox, number 8 in Billboard, and number 7 in New Zealand, Magnet and Steel.
Alt-Universe Top 40!
Number 8.
Now we are up to a song that is both modern and great and should have reached number 8. It is by the British indie rock act The Cribs, who, in their four-piece incarnation, included former guitarist from The Smiths, Johnny Marr. Recorded and mixed at CD Underbelly Studios in Laurel Canyon, this track was released digitally and on 7-inch blue vinyl, but it did not chart in the U.S. While their last four albums reached the top 10 in the U.K., it is this single that we believe should have reached number 8 in the United States and in England.
Down and I know I will.
with a song that was both modern and great and should have reached number 8. Those were The Cribs, featuring twins Gary and Ryan Jarman, their younger brother Ross, and modern rock legend Johnny Marr, and We Share the Same Skies.
Alt-Universe Top 40.
Now we are up to our little slice of heaven at number 7, and it belongs to a vocalist who was once known as Miss Rhythm, and who ultimately was inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, Ruth Brown. Ruth Alston Weston was born on January 12, 1928, in Portsmouth, Virginia, the oldest of 7 children. Her father was the choir director at the church the family attended, but Ruth preferred the kind of music that Billie Holiday sang in nightclubs. At age 17, Ruth ran away from home and married trumpet player Jimmy Brown. Soon, she was being managed by Cab Calloway's sister, Blanche, with performances booked regularly at the Washington, D.C. club known as the Crystal Caverns. After hearing her there, Voice of America DJ Willis Conover recommended her to Atlantic Records. Within a year of signing with Atlantic, she hit number 1 on the R&B survey with Teardrops from My Eyes, which stayed at the top for 11 weeks. Over a 5-year period, she hit number 1 on the rhythm and blues charts 5 times and had 21 top 10s. Based upon those statistics, she was the top-selling artist on the Atlantic label during the 50s. She branched out into acting and landed parts in the sitcom Hello Larry and the Broadway productions of Amen Corner and Black and Blue, the latter of which earned her a Tony Award for Best Actress in a Musical. Later in her career, she recorded for the Philips and Fantasy labels while becoming an advocate for artists' royalties through the Rhythm and Blues Foundation. She also hosted the NPR radio show Blues Stage for 6 years. Ruth Brown died at the age of 78 on November 17, 2006. Our little slice of heaven today belongs to her.
I'm going home to see my baby, big sweet baby of mine. Been so long without my baby till sometimes I feel I'm plumb going out of my mind. I'm leaving this town early next morning, a big sweet baby of mine. It won't be long before we're together now, baby and me, happy till the end of time. Till sometimes I feel I'm plumb going out of my mind. I'm plumb going out of my mind. Sometimes I feel I'm plumb going out of my mind. Dumb going out of my mind.
With our little slice of heaven at number 7, that was Ruth Brown and Sweet Baby of Mine. Since our last broadcast, we have received messages from all around the world. Rudy from Germany heard our 6070 broadcast on his Perseus receiver with W3DZZ 12-meter antenna. He reported 45544 and included photos of his web SDR during transmission, photos of his radio, and an MP3 air check. Thank you, Rudy, for the incredibly detailed correspondence. We certainly hope that you receive programs from everywhere on your advanced radio rig. Frederico from Argentina sent us a message on Mixcloud to let us know that our September 28, 2019 show was one of his favorites. Thank you for your kind message, Frederico. We hope that you have a wonderful week ahead. Giampiero from Italy heard our 6070 broadcast on his Elad FDM52 SDR receiver with Wellbrook loop antenna. He reported a good signal with some slow fading and good modulation. He also sent a photo of the SDR sound print and an MP3 air check of several minutes. He said that he has been a fan of radio since he was a little boy back in 1968. Thank you, Giampiero, for your full and interesting report. I, too, have been a radio fan since 1968. We wish you the best in future listening. Can you hear us? If you can, please send your questions, comments, and reception reports to us in an email addressed to john@altuniversetop40.com. We would love to hear from you.
This is Alt Universe Top 40.
Number 6.
Now we are up to our bonus hit at number 6, awarded to an act that has placed at least 6 albums into the top 40 of the album chart. Today's album rock legends certainly qualify. By the time that Pink Floyd released the album A Momentary Lapse of Reason, the technical membership of the band was in question, based on the legal fights that were taking place over the rights to use the actual name Pink Floyd. Strangely, the album was released right in the middle of the turmoil, and the issues were not actually resolved until several months after the album came out. Only David Gilmour and Nick Mason appeared on the credits as actual members of the band by that time, but keyboardist Richard Wright joined them for a couple of songs, including Learning to Fly. While that particular song received enough airplay to reach number 1 on the Billboard Album Rock Tracks chart, it only hit number 70 on the Billboard Hot 100. Based on the interesting fact that both David Gilmour and Nick Mason were licensed pilots when the song was released, we think that, at the very least, it should have made it up to number 6 on the Billboard and Cashbox singles charts.
Into the distance, a ribbon of black, stretched to the point of no turning back. Flight of fancy on a windswept field, standing alone, my senses reel. Fatal attraction is holding me fast. How can I escape its irresistible grasp? Can't keep my eyes from the circling sky. Tongue-tied and twisted, just an earthbound misfit. Skies, tongue tied and twisted, just a
across the clouds I see my shadow fly. Out of the corner of my watery eye, a dream unfriended by the morning light. Could blow this soul right through the roof of the night. There's no sensation to compare with this. Suspended animation, state of bliss. Can't keep my mind from the circling sky. Tongue tied and twisted, just an earthbound distant.
With a song that was mostly recorded on David Gilmour's houseboat studio, which was moored on the Thames, that was Pink Floyd and Learning to Fly. My name is John McMullen, and this is Alt Universe Top 40. At number 5, we have a song that, in another era, would have been classified as pure rockabilly. However, because it was released in the 90s, it was considered country and was released and promoted only to country radio. For me personally, the album that contained this track represented an instance of worlds of mine colliding. While Memphis has generally been my recording home, many years back I did have several sessions in Nashville. The drummer for those sessions was the extremely talented Wayne Killias, who also played drums on the album that contains our track at number 5. And while some of the guitar is being handled by the artist himself, the ever-present Jack Holder made that drive on Interstate 40 from Memphis to Nashville and took care of some perfectly placed rockabilly guitar work throughout the album. I met this artist, John Brannon, briefly back in the early 90s at the Mercury offices in Nashville and spoke to him for about 5 minutes. I can recall telling him that his vocals reminded me of Jerry Lee Lewis over the top of guitar-based rockabilly. He shook my hand and said, quote, "You get it, man," close quote.
On the lonesome side of midnight,
with a classic rockabilly sound that should have reached number 5 on the pop charts. That was Mercury artist John Brannon with the song Lonesome Side of Midnight from his self-titled solo album from 1992.
Alt-Universe Top 40.
Number 4.
Now we are up to number 4, which usually means that we're going to play a song that did significantly better in England than it did in the United States. Today, however, we are focusing on a song that charted significantly better in Italy than it did in the United States. In Italy, it hit number 4. But in the United States, it didn't chart at all, not because of a lack of success, but rather because it was not released as a single, at least not in this version. The phenomenal success of the soundtrack album of the movie Saturday Night Fever spawned numerous hits, with 3 Bee Gees records all reaching number 1, and a song written by the Bee Gees for Yvonne Elliman also reaching the top. In addition to those number 1s, the group Tavares had a number 7 hit in England with their version of another Saturday Night Fever song written by the Bee Gees, More Than a Woman. That single was produced by Freddie Perren and was released on the Capitol label, even though the exact same version appeared on the soundtrack album released by RSO Records. While featured prominently in the movie, the Bee Gees version of More Than a Woman was never released as a single in the United States. However, it did receive airplay as if it had been. Number 4 with a song that was never released as a single in the United States. Those were the Bee Gees and More Than a Woman.
Making changes that time and taste demand. This is Alt Universe Top 40.
Number 3.
Now we are up to our 3 from way downtown. And today we're talking about downtown Nashville, Tennessee. A couple of songs back, I played a Nashville track that had a rockabilly feel and was promoted to country radio. But now, at number 3, we have a legendary act from Nashville that was nowhere near the country format. I saw this band on several occasions in Oxford, Mississippi, at a club called The Gin. They released independent vinyl and cassettes while maintaining a loyal club following live. They were not necessarily given the amount of airplay that they deserved, but in various college towns in the South, they were treated pretty well. One song of theirs that did receive airplay was the cover of the Nancy Sinatra hit, These Boots Are Made for Walking. Back in the mid-80s, influential album rock stations in and around the Oxford and New Albany, Mississippi area spun this track by request late at night many times.
You keep saying you got something for me, something you call love, but confess. Messing where you shouldn't be messing, and now someone else is getting all my best. These boots are made for walking, and that's just what they'll do. One of these days, these boots are gonna walk all over you.
Led by Kevin Gray, who ultimately became Dr. Kevin Gray at Vanderbilt Hospital, those were the White Animals with our three from way downtown, These Boots Are Made for Walking.
Alt Universe Top 40.
Number 2.
Now we are up to number 2, which means that we're going to play a song that we think should have reached number 1. And it is by an act who did reach number 1 with a similarly produced record 23 months before this one was released. A couple of weeks ago, I played a single by Piccadilly Circus that was recorded at American Sound in Memphis. I remarked at the time that it sounded like a mix between two other American Sound acts, the Box Tops and B.J. Thomas. Back in 1967, the Box Tops reached number 1 on the Billboard charts with their classic written by Wayne Carson Thompson, The Letter. While they had 8 total top 40 hits, all of which were recorded at either American or American East, which is now the actual location of the current incarnation of American Sound, the Box Tops never hit number 1 again after The Letter. They got close with Cry Like a Baby, which hit number 2 in Billboard and Cashbox in February of 1968. 23 months after The Letter was released, the Box Tops recorded another song written by Wayne Carson Thompson, Soul Deep, which we believe should have reached number 1 in Billboard, Cashbox, and Record World.
All that I don't
recorded at Chips Moman's legendary American Sound and featuring Alex Chilton on lead vocals. Those were the Box Tops with Soul Deep, a record that peaked at number 11 in Record World, number 13 in Cashbox, number 18 in Billboard, but should have hit number 1 on all three charts. Now we are up to our Hall of Perfection track at number 1. It is a true classic, originally written in 1973 by lyricist Bernie Taupin as a tribute to Marilyn Monroe. In the VH1 documentary about the album Goodbye Yellow Brick Road, Bernie said the song is about, quote, the idea of fame or youth or somebody being cut short in the prime of their life. The song could have been about James Dean. It could have been about Montgomery Clift. It could have been about Jim Morrison, how we glamorize death, how we immortalize people, close quote. After Bernie spent 2.5 weeks writing the lyrics to this song and 21 others, the entire stack was then handed to Elton John, who composed most of the music to the entire double album over a 3-day period at the Pink Flamingo Hotel in Kingston, Jamaica, where Elton first planned to record his next album. After production delays in Jamaica caused the sessions to be moved to Strawberry Studios in France, Elton and his band worked up 18 of the 22 songs written for the project and recorded the entire double album in 2 weeks. One of the album tracks that received immediate attention was Candle in the Wind. In addition to Bernie's amazing lyrics and Elton's brilliant piano and singing, it included a memorable guitar lick from Davy Johnstone and some amazing background vocals by Davy, along with bassist Dee Murray and drummer Nigel Olsen. It was this version that was released as a single by DJM Records in England and hit number 11. In the U.S., MCA Records declined to release it as a single, opting instead for Penny and the Jets, which did hit number 1. Then, in December of 1986, Elton recorded a performance with the Melbourne Symphony Orchestra to be released in 1987 as a double live album. One of the selections recorded was a rearranged version of Candle in the Wind that did not include any background vocals, guitars, or drums. Even though the Melbourne Symphony Orchestra played on all the other tracks on that album, this version of Candle in the Wind was only Elton on piano and Fred Mandel on textured synthesizers throughout the song. This version reached number 5 on the British charts and number 6 on the Billboard Hot 100 and resulted in Elton receiving a Grammy nomination for Best Pop Vocal Performance Male. Later, in 1997, upon the shocking death of Princess Diana, the grieving country of England turned to its unofficial poet laureate in Bernie Taupin to rewrite the song with lyrics that referred to Princess Di. A heavy-hearted Elton re-recorded the song as Candle in the Wind, 1997, with Sir George Martin producing. It became the all-time biggest-selling single since the advent of the charts, and is likely the second biggest-selling single of all time if pre-chart sales are estimated and counted for Bing Crosby's White Christmas. With authenticated sales of at least 33 million, the 1997 version of the song is certainly in more record collections than the original. But our Hall of Perfection entry is the version that the 30 million record collectors who bought the Goodbye Yellow Brick Road album heard back in 1973.
Goodbye, Norma Jean. No, I never knew you at all. You had the grace to hold yourself, but those around you crawled. They crawled out of the woodwork. And they whispered into your brain, they set you on the treadmill, and they made you change your name. And it seems to me you lived your life like a candle in the wind, never knowing who to cling to when the rain set in. Thank you. same as the price you pay. Even when you die, oh, the press still hounded you. All the papers had to say was that Marilyn was found in the news. And it seems to me you lived your life like a candle in the wind, never knowing who to cling to when the rain set in. And I would have liked to know you, but I was just a kid. The candle burned out long before the legend ever did. Our Marilyn Monroe. And it seems to me you lived your life like a candle in the wind, never knowing who to cling to when the rain set in. And I would have liked to know you, but I was just a kid. The candle burned out long before ever did. The candle burned out long before legend ever did.
With our Hall of Perfection track, that was Elton John, along with his band consisting of Davy Johnstone, Dee Murray, and Nigel Olsen, with the Gus Dudgeon-produced Candle in the Wind, which was never released as an American single in this version. Well, that's all we have for today. Please be sure to join us next week for another installment of Alt Universe Top 40. In the meantime, to check out our older episodes, simply download the Mixcloud app and follow Alt Universe Top 40. Also, you can follow the links on our website at www.altuniversetop40.com. As we mentioned before, we would love to hear from you. Please send your questions, comments, or reception reports to us in an email addressed to john@altuniversetop40.com. For our website and email addresses, those are all lowercase and 40 is a number. Until we meet again, keep making those good-hearted changes that time and taste demand, and keep on smiling through the static.